This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit Chevrolet.gm.ca.
Hello, I'm Andy Berry, the host of Metro Morning on CBC Radio 1, 99.1 in Toronto. And this is our weekly podcast, Toronto This Week. It features highlights of our local and regional shows on CBC, shows like Here and Now, Ontario Morning, and Fresh Air. But first, here's an item from Metro Morning. Historically, English and French were the two languages that mattered in this country, but these days they don't begin to capture the reality of what it means to be Canadian. Statistics Canada will release a new report today about the languages that are spoken in this country. More of them can be found here in this city than anywhere else, with Torontonians claiming more than 100 languages as their mother tongue. This morning we'll get a taste, literally, of a few of them with a visit to a Latino convenience store, as Mary Weens discovered the groceries lining the shelves tell the story of Toronto's incredible linguistic mix.
And this is two different kind of Malta.
Are those from Brazil?
Yeah, no, these are from Colombia, from Salvador.
From the outside, this convenience store doesn't look like much. The yellow sign at the corner of Weston Road and Cordella says El Caribe Convenience Store. Inside, every Spanish-speaking citizen of Toronto will find something to remind them of home, wherever it is.
From Peru.
So wait a minute, before you go away from this freezer, here in this one freezer, you've got drinks from how many different countries?
Oh, quite a few countries.
Yeah, but what is it, about a dozen countries represented here?
I don't know. The people, when they come in, they say, oh my God, this is what I used to drink when I was back home, and they take it. But you see this kind of chilies? This old... chiles, all different. They're all from Mexico. Wow.
Where another convenience store would have loaves of Weston white bread, Narcy Salazar has bags of tamale. $3.50 will buy what looks like enough to feed an army of Latin Torontonians.
A tamale has a flour with beef and or chicken or beef or...
In this eclectic world here at the corner of Weston and Cordella, there are also Jamaican patties, which Narcy will heat up for you in a toaster oven. At the cash register, a collection of clear glass bottles holding a mysterious liquid and a ginseng root in each bottle.
It's got the ginseng root.
Root, and you can eat it after.
Really? Have you tried this one?
No. I'm really fussy about, but I don't touch.
Do you have a lot of Korean customers as well?
Yes. But no, more Spanish people, they take that.
They do.
The last census by Statistics Canada says Canadians reported speaking more than 100 languages when they completed the census question on their mother tongue. That list includes the language groups you'd expect: German, Italian, Ukrainian, Dutch, Polish. But between 96 and 2001, language groups from Asia and the Middle East recorded the largest gains. Think Cantonese, Punjabi, Urdu, Tagalog, Tamil. Recently, Mexicans have been coming into Toronto in huge numbers.
I'll show you the ice cream that we have it here.
Hello, how are you?
How are you?
All kinds of ice creams from South America.
Oh, they're beautiful little ice creams. Have you ever tried these ice creams?
No.
I'm with CBC Radio. This is an amazing little...
Well, they look good, don't they?
They do look good.
How much are they?
$1.50.
Oh, maybe I'll get one when I come back.
Here in the store, Spanish is the official language, although Narcy also serves people who speak Scottish.
Let's see. How do you...
A lot of the English people like says the coconut.
Oh, they're good? Oh, yeah.
Good. The coconut. They love those ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice, huh?
Are you going to try one? I'm going to treat you to one. I'm with CBC Radio, by the way.
All right.
I'm treating her to one of these. So how long have you lived in the neighborhood?
Oh, me? Years.
Well, there's one guy you can interview. He's with the Spanish product that he brings it in.
What? You're a supplier,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, that's me. I'm a supplier, yes.
What have you brought in today?
I brought this broken corn and this... other is from Peru. This is a dehydrated type of potato.
Dehydrated potatoes, just one of the products Francisco Nora delivers to Latino stores across the GTA.
This one is which one?
His big specialty, corn.
That's, And that is
what
the cancha, maíz de tostar. And this is a chulpe corn, maíz chulpe.
You're Peruvian, is it? Are you?
No. I'm originally from Mexico, but I've lived here in Canada for about 25 years.
He also brings in hot sauces. You know, there must be about 24 different kinds in this tiny space. Francisco points at one jar of yellow sauce that should come with a warning label.
It's a yellow hot pepper, but it's very hot. And this is a Peruvian yellow hot pepper. And I thought that Mexico is like really, really hot stuff until I tried this rocoto. This one here is like fire.
Meanwhile, while Francisco tells me about the perils of canned fire, Sarah of the Scottish Brogue is finishing off her coconut ice cream. It must be good. She suddenly offers to sing.
Oh, she's almost done. Look at that. She's licking the stick.
You love this ice cream, huh?
Mm, it's great.
That's the coconut, huh?
No, it's lovely, yeah.
Have I got you on a new thing now?
Yeah.
So what do you come in to buy? What brings you into this little convenience
sometimes
store?
Sometimes I get tickets. Sometimes she's got milk for me sometime. If I've got enough for tea, I'll get tea, you see. Tea bags, yeah.
Well.
And I'm a singer.
Sing something for us.
What would you want like me to sing?
I don't know, something you grew up with.
Once I had a secret love that lived within the heart of me. See, I can tell
you. A great voice.
Keep on going. I want to hear about it.
No.
This convenience store, like the rest of Toronto, hosts people whose parents came here generations ago in search of a better life. And people who came here a couple of years ago for the same reason. When the last census came out in 01, one of every six people in Canada were allophones, that is, having a mother tongue other than English or French. And the GTA is the multilingual capital of Canada, with close to half its residents speaking a mother tongue other than English. 79% of all Tamil speakers in Canada live here. So do most of the people who speak Urdu and Tagalog. Or at least those were the numbers in 2001. Today, Statistics Canada releases its newest numbers on who speaks what language. But here in this convenience store at the corner of Weston Road and Cordella, the pattern is clear. The shelves are only getting more crowded.
The maca powder, but this is also an aphrodisiac, you mean? Well, I should take some home, but...
For CBC Radio, I'm Mary Weens in Toronto.
Are you recommending I take one of those today?
I don't know. I haven't tried it.
I'm Andy Berry, and this is our weekly podcast, Toronto This Week. Now here's Matt Galloway with a highlight from this week's Here and Now.
Yesterday's census report on immigration trends has a lot of people talking in a variety of languages. According to the latest numbers, the language that's gaining the most ground in the GTA is Mandarin, and Chinese immigrants from mainland China are part of the fastest-growing population in this city. This, of course, means a significant change to the 905, one that radio host Simon Lee has been keeping close track of on his program Power Politics. Simon's on the line with me now to talk about the changing 905. Simon, hello.
Oh, hello, Matt.
You spoke with your audience last night about these census figures. How is the information that's being presented in the census playing out with your audience?
It seems to us that the 905 area is becoming ever more diverse, and the face of cities like Markham and Richmond Hill is changing. New immigrants are not just sticking to 416 now. More and more Chinese immigrants, for instance, are now going out to the 905 suburbs. So yesterday, when we asked our audience about why they choose to settle in Markham and Richmond Hill and other 905 areas instead of 416, they say that's because these are the cities where their families and friends are before coming to Canada. So if this trend continues in the 905, we think this is certainly going to have an impact on the service delivery in the 905 area.
It's interesting because many of the new Chinese Canadians that are arriving in this country are coming from mainland China. They're speaking Mandarin. That's now the fastest growing language in the Toronto area. What evidence do you see of that, rise of Mandarin in your area?
Oh, there are lots of indications that how things are evolving in these cities to the point that we see there are four Chinese major deities in GTA, and in the past they used to be in traditional Chinese font, which are definitely designed for the Southern Chinese readers of readers from Hong Kong. But in the past year, we see more and more newspapers have to change to suit the Mandarin-speaking readers. We see new newspapers designed in the simplified Chinese characters, specifically designed for the Mandarin-speaking readers. More Mandarin programming on radio. For instance, the radio show just after my slot is in Mandarin. It's a two-hour Mandarin program. Mm. More Mandarin advertising, and even in the condo projects when they promote their projects in pamphlet or on radio ads, they're in Mandarin or simplified Chinese characters.
It's interesting because yesterday on this program we were talking about the survey results as a whole and talking about immigrants getting support or not getting support to help them settle in the city. For Mandarin-speaking newcomers, what sort of support do they have if they are settling in the 905?
Oh, it's quite, it's very interesting for that phenomenon because this is a big problem that in the 905 area, settlement services can't keep pace with the number of immigrants because the provincial and federal agencies didn't provide adequate funding. Let's say settlement services for new immigrants like language training and job training in 905, these are seriously lacking. And when newcomers have trouble adjusting to a new culture and language, if they can't find settlement services in the 905, they have to go to the 416 to seek help.
But are you finding that perhaps the government is instead spending the money on the 416 and not the 905?
The funding are just not enough there. For instance, when people seek help to improve the language or to when they were finding assistance to find job, for instance, a lot of these settlement service centers are just not in 905. Wow. A lot of them had their headquarters in the 416 area. And not only that, it also had to do with the language. In the past, traditionally, these Chinese service providers are in Cantonese speaking. They usually serve the Cantonese speaking groups. So they certainly have to improve their, expand their services in Mandarin as well. So there's a great diversity within the Chinese community.
Are you finding that I mean, the communities themselves are having to adapt and change with a number of new comers coming from mainland China speaking Mandarin?
Oh, certainly, Matt. In the past, most Chinese immigrants are from Hong Kong. And, you know, this year marks the 10th anniversary of the Hong Kong handover. Lots of the people came to Canada from Hong Kong 10 years ago because of political uncertainty, because of their own political worries. 10 years have passed now, so we do see less immigrants from Hong Kong and a majority of them are now from mainland China instead. So from this diversity change within the Chinese community, I think all sorts of services provided for immigrants have to change as well. There has to be a new change and new mindset to serve these people. Maybe one good example, Matt, would be the restaurant menus. Mm. In the past, when we go to a Chinese restaurant to have a congee or noodles, for instance, the menus are in traditional Chinese characters. But now we do see some menus are designed in simplified font these days.
And it's amazing because, again, downtown, we have a couple of different Chinatowns. But the real Chinatown, if you're talking about food, if you want to go and eat really interesting Chinese food, you head north of Highway 7. If you go to the Pacific Mall, that's a completely different idea of what a Chinatown can be than the Chinatown downtown.
Oh, yes. There's no single Chinatown these days, and there are several Chinatowns. And even on Steeles and Kennedy, it really reflects the demographic change in the sense that in the past, there have only been two Chinese malls. I recall, Matt, you have been the Pacific Mall to do your broadcast.
Yes.
And the Market Village. But now on the opposite side of the Steeles Avenue, you see a new Chinese mall called Splendid China Tower. It's a new development this year. And that is only the phase one. The phase two is coming along the way. So that really has to suit the needs of the growing Chinese population in the area.
It's an amazing snapshot of a changing Toronto. Simon, thank you.
For my pleasure, Matt.
Simon Lee, the host of Power Politics on Toronto First Radio.
That was Matt Galloway, host of Here and Now, heard weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on CBC Radio 1, 99.1 in Toronto. I'm Andy Berry, and this is our weekly podcast, Toronto This Week. Now here's Wei Chen with a highlight from this week's Ontario Morning.
Well, today is the first full day of Hanukkah. The Jewish Festival of Lights began last night and continues for the next week. If you're lucky enough to get to go to a Hanukkah party, you may hear a little Yiddish sprinkled into the conversation. Yiddish, the language long associated with Jews from Central and Eastern Europe, has intrigued my next guest. Michael Wex is the author of two books about Yiddish, Born to Kvetch, and his latest, Just Say Nu, Yiddish for Every Occasion When English Just Won't Do. And he joins us now in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, what?
Now, what sparked your interest in all things Yiddish?
Actually, I grew up speaking it in unusual circumstances. I'm from Lethbridge in southern Alberta and grew up there. My parents were from Poland and spoke Yiddish. There were other Jewish families there where, at least amongst the adults, that was the dominant language. So I ended up speaking it in a way that a lot of people my generation, my age, couldn't. Mm. And then just went on to get interested in it once I realized that there weren't a lot of people really looking at it, and I thought it had a lot to offer.
Well, a lot of people probably thought that it's a dead language.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did, especially after the Holocaust. And, you know, it's so associated with old people that you figure it's long gone. You hear the occasional showbiz word or something. But strangely enough, there's actually a growing number of speakers just because the extreme Orthodox Jewish community, which you can find concentrations of in Toronto, Montreal, obviously places like New York, continues to use it as their basic day-to-day language. And it's a community that doesn't believe in birth control and is having 10 and 12 children per family these days. So you've got more speakers than you had 10 years ago.
And why is that interest to keep that language alive?
Well, I think it preserves in itself so much of what we think of as Jewish in quotation marks, whether it's Jerry Seinfeld or Jon Stewart, you know, they all have the same initials, is encapsulated in Yiddish. I mean, they're working in a very Yiddish kind of idiom, even if they're speaking English, that ironic, upside-down way of looking at the world, that kind of little bit of sarcasm, is something that I think, you know, is valuable and we lose at our peril.
Mm. Okay, now define new. What exactly is new? Just say new.
New is this small Yiddish word that can mean almost anything that the person listening to you wants it to mean. So you walk up to somebody on the street and you go, "Nu," out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
This means, what are you doing here? Please account for your presence and tell me what it is I'm supposed to do about it. Now, if you were to answer what I just said with another "nu," that would mean, so what? Go on and tell me something interesting. Tell me something that means something. If I said to you, I just read War and Peace yesterday, and you said, "Nu." This means what? Tolstoy is supposed to rise from his grave and give you a big kiss? It's that kind of thing. It's a question that is answered not by the questioner, not by the person being asked, but by the questioner.
Mm.
And it's very, very useful in that way.
What are some words that where you find that there is no English equivalent, that you've got to use the Yiddish to just encapsulate what you want to say?
Generally, when I'm referring to other people driving on the same street with me, I find Yiddish has a vast range of terms that mean idiot, fool, incompetent, moron, etc. And these are highly useful because you can indulge in road rage without anybody actually knowing that you're doing so. So you can sneak away with it. But there are a lot of words that have come into English.
Oh, yes, that are part of our lexicon, like being a klutz. That's a Yiddish term.
Yeah, klutz is a good one.
Or schmaltzy, something, right?
Yeah, schmaltz also comes in from Yiddish. Even words that people aren't always aware of, glitch, when your computer messes up.
Mm.
Is originally a Yiddish word. A glitch in Yiddish is something that slips or slides. So if you go skating, you're glitching in Yiddish. There's a well-known one. There's, of course, all the showbiz stuff, shtick. There's the horrible insults, schmendrick, and some of the less pleasant ones that you hear, what Monica Lewinsky called Bill Clinton a schmuck, which is not very nice in Yiddish.
Mm. And so what is the difference between like a schmuck, a schnook, and a schmo?
Oh, no. a schmuck.
Are those some of the words that you're saying in the car?
Schnook and schmo tend to be – schmo is actually short for schmuck.
Oh, okay.
So a shmo, you didn't want to say the whole word because in Yiddish it's actually kind of dirty. So shmo was like saying, sugar in English rather than something else. A schnook is just a hapless kind of person that basically can't figure their way out of a paper bag. A schmuck, there's a bit more intent behind it. You know, a schmuck cuts you off in the car.
Someone who's a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So give us a few, there's a few there that you've given us, but give us a few more handy-dandy phrases that we might throw around.
Oh, God, there's so many. One of my favorites, or one of the most appropriate right now, because it's Hanukkah, the Festival of Lights, what you say to people is that they should have, this is kind of difficult, a lichtigen in freilichen Hanukkah, which means a light and happy Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hanukkah, of course, is the Festival of Lights. You light candles every night. But you notice this light and happy Hanukkah is where Irving Berlin, he snuck it into White Christmas when he said, "May your days be merry and bright." He was, you know, Irving Berlin, of course, grew up speaking Yiddish. Going back to Hanukkah, whipping in that Hanukkah reference when nobody was looking.
And that's exactly what that just means. I don't know if I should attempt it or not. Say it again.
Give it a try. Alichtigen.
Alichtigen.
Good. Unfreilichen.
Unfreilichen.
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Yeah. Excellent.
I don't know if I'll remember that for the future, but
to
that
the manner born.
Well, thank you so much for this. Oh, wait. I got to ask you about these two because another two from your book. Fe and schon.
Fe is the universal Yiddish expression of disgust. So if you open your lunch and see that the sandwich is actually 6 months old and not in very good shape, oy, fe. But you can also say this about how was the movie? Fe. It's like such garbage I have never laid eyes on. And shoin, the second one you asked about, in Yiddish it means literally already.
Mm.
But it's used in a much wider range of places than you would use it in English. This is when you hear people who grew up speaking Yiddish speaking English, they'll often use already. I've been here 12 years already, which is just how you speak in Yiddish. But it's probably the single most useful Yiddish word. So if anybody comes up to you and says anything in Yiddish and you don't understand, if you say schon, they will be able to make sense out of it and go on. You'll have no idea what you've just said. But that's okay. They will.
And how do you say sorry?
When do you say sorry?
Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning and telling us about your book.
Oh, well, thank you. It was great to be here.
Michael Wex is the author of Just Say New, Yiddish for Every Occasion When English Just Won't Do.
That was Wei Chen, the host of Ontario Morning, heard weekday mornings from 6 to 8:30 throughout much of southern and central Ontario on CBC Radio 1. And that will do it for our weekly podcast, Toronto This Week. You can hear all our shows live on CBC Radio 1 if you're in Toronto. That's a 99.1 and live on the web at cbc.ca/Toronto. And don't forget, much of our network programming is also now available via podcast. You'll find that at cbc.ca/podcast. We're also looking for some feedback on our podcast, and you can email us at metromorning@toronto.cbc.ca. I'm Andy Berry, the host of Metro Morning. We're heard weekday mornings from 6 to 8:30 on CBC Radio 1, 99.1 in Toronto. For all of us here at CBC Radio in Toronto, have a good week. We'll have another podcast for you next weekend.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.